In his sanctum, Shizor received an incoming call.
Lord Vader, what a pleasant surprise.
Perhaps not so pleasant. I have been made aware of your attempts to kill Luke Skywalker. You will immediately cease all attempts to harm the boy.
Shizor kept his face neutral, even though he felt a surge of anger.
Your information is in error, Lord Vader. And even if it were correct, I am given to understand that the boy is a rebel officer. All rebels are traitors who are wanted, dead or alive. Is this sudden change of policy an official Imperial decree?
If Skywalker is harmed, I will hold you personally accountable.
Vader broke the connection. Shizor took a deep breath and exhaled slowly. He told himself it was to be expected that Vader, as had the Emperor, would uncover some information about Skywalker sooner or later. This should have no effect on his plans. He would merely have to be more cautious. Dash's contact, one Benedict Vidcun, was more than willing to scan the systems, make maps, lead them himself, or whatever else they might want, as long as they had plenty of credits. Vidcun was a short, thin man, fish-belly pale, with bulging brown eyes, a wispy beard and mustache, and more than his share of nose. According to him, he worked nights, slept days, and seldom saw the sun, save when he went to and from his duties under the Imperial Complex. He knew the sewers by heart. The sludge in the tunnel was greenish-black, thick, oily, and it stank worse than anything Luke had ever smelled before. Dregs of the dregs, the silty fluid flowed around their feet. The tunnel was lit by a row of dim overhead glow sticks, but it was bright enough to see as much as they wanted. They were startled by something that sounded as if somebody had dropped a couple of head-sized stones into the inky liquid. Vidcun looked back.
What's with the walk?
He doesn't like little swimming or running things, Luke said. Vidcun shrugged.
A few hundred more meters.
Hey, Dash said. Look out! Luke spun, pulled his lightsaber from his belt, just in time to see a large eye pop up on a fleshy stalk attached to something slithering through the murky effluvia toward him. A Dianoga. Luke stepped closer and brought the blade down, chopping the Dianoga's body in half. The cut pieces continued thrashing, but the spasms quickly subsided. The five of them continued to wade through the mire. Finally, Vidcun pointed.
Just ahead, there.
They saw two large round holes in the wall covered with thick metal mesh gates. Lando said,
Okay, Vidcun, let's see if those codes you have work.
The engineer moved forward, did something to the locking mechanisms with a plastic card. The gates swung open. Vidcun grinned at them.
See? Just like I told you. We want the one on the right.
They moved into the drain and climbed the slight incline carefully. Vidcun warned them.
Coming onto the zap field. Let me run the deactivator.
Everybody stopped while he fiddled with the controls on a small black box he pulled from his belt. There was a brief flash of purplish light.
Should be okay now.
Fine. You go first, Lando said.
The engineer glared at him but moved to the front. When he'd walked a few more meters without turning into a crispy fried Vidcun, they followed him. Then Vidcun stopped.
There's the entrance to the building. It leads into the recycler in the sub-sub basement. There won't be any guards inside the recycler itself, but there will probably be some in the adjoining flow chamber. Here's the key to the rat grate.
He handed a plastic card to Lando.
See you.
He turned to leave. Dash stepped in front of him.
Where do you think you're going? Hey, I'm done. I got you to the building. I got you the floor plans for the place. That was the deal.
Dash scratched his head.
Well, I guess you have us there. That was the deal, all right. But, see, there's been a little change in our itinerary. We'd like you to come along. until we come to a place where you can safely wait for us.
We insist, Lando said.
Vidkun shrugged.
Well, okay, since you put it that way.
And before anybody could react, he pulled a small blaster from his coverall and started shooting wildly. The first shot seared past Luke. The second hit Dash in the hip. The engineer didn't get off a third shot because Dash snapped his blaster up and put a bolt right between the man's eyes. Luke went to him.
Dash? I'm okay. Just scorched me a little.
Why'd he do it?
Lando said.
We weren't gonna hurt him. Guy like that, he figures he's sold out. Why shouldn't we?
Dash said.
Let's hope the guards didn't hear the shooting, Lando said.
Luke peered through the half-fogged cover plate on the recycler's door.
Uh-oh. Guards. Six of them.
Behind him, Lando tried to keep his shock to a whisper.
Six? To guard a sewage plant?
Dash laughed softly.
So what? That's only one and a half each.
Luke looked again. True, there were six men only a few meters away, but four of them sat at a table playing cards, blast rifles stacked against the wall. Two others stood near the card players, watching and apparently offering advice, but they had their weapons slung over their shoulders. Dash was right. If they moved fast, they could cover the guards before they had a chance to use their rifles, then disarm them, tie them up, and be on their way with nobody else the wiser. The trick was to do it before one of the guards got his comlink out to call for help. Luke moved away from the cover plate and crouched in the mire with the others.
Okay, here's the deal. Dash, you pop the hatch. I'll go first. Chewie is behind me, then Lando. You come last. On three. One, two, three.
Dash shoved the hatch open. Luke leapt out, brought his lightsaber up into a ready stance. Nobody move. Chewie jumped out behind him. His wet feet slid on the floor and he fell flat on his back. Lando tried to leap over Chewie, but tripped on the fallen Wookiee and sprawled face down. The startled guards leapt up and went for their weapons. Luke blocked the first bolt, shifted in the force, blocked the second. Dash dove over Lando and Chewie, shoulder rolled once, fired. The two standing guards went down, but another one spun away from the wall. Blast rifle spewing. Chewie sat up and the bowcaster spoke. The third guard went down, but the fourth one shot at them. Luke barely blocked a beam that vibrated his hands and arms hard. But the reflected bolt hit one of the overhead lamps and shattered. The room went dimmer. Only one guard stood. He didn't have a gun, but he was yelling into a comlink unit. Lando shot the last guard as Chewie came to his feet, looking embarrassed. Luke stomped down on the squawking comlink with his boot heel and smashed it.
So much for sneaking in quietly, Lando said.
Shizar was paying the cultural minister his monthly bribe when Guri stepped into the room. The Dark Prince made polite noises and dismissed the minister. When the man was gone, he looked at her.
What?
A problem in the sub-sub basement.
What kind of problem?
She shrugged.
We don't know. That area is still not wired for surveillance, and the guards are not answering.
Shizor was not especially concerned. Down where the pipes and conduits and heavy durasteel beams were thick, engineers had not been able to resolve some comm wave interference.
It's either a comm glitch, or Skywalker is faster and smarter than we thought. Have the drain sensors picked up any armies marching in under the building?
No.
Good. If it is Skywalker, he's probably alone, or perhaps the Wookiee is with him. Send a unit to check it out.
Two squads are already on the way.
Send in them off on your way out. Security will catch Skywalker. There is nothing to worry about.
Luke and the others ran. Chewie knew where Leia was, and he was in the lead. They came around a sharp corner in a wide corridor and nearly ran into four more guards. Everybody who had a blaster started shooting. From the comlink on Luke's belt, 3PO's strident and excited voice suddenly began calling.
Master Luke! Master Luke!
Luke blocked an incoming blaster beam. He left the comlink on his belt and yelled down at it.
We're busy here, 3PO.
But Master Luke, there are men coming toward the ship. men with guns.
Great, just what he needed. Luke deflected another beam, leapt forward, and found himself within reach of the man who'd shot at him. He whipped the lightsaber down, and the hand holding the blaster dropped to the floor. Luke spun and thrust a sidekick at the guard, hit him squarely on the nose, and knocked him flat. The other guards were down as well. Luke pointed the way the guards had just come. That way. As they ran, he pulled his comlink from his belt. 3PO?
Master Luke, oh, what shall we do?
Take the ship out of there now, just like we talked about. R2 knows the systems. You can operate the controls. Call me back when you're in the air. Keep it suborbital and under the stratospheric security scanners. You got that?
Yes, Master Luke.
Go! We've lost contact with the second unit of guards, Guri told Shizor.
Same area?
No, four levels up.
Shizor frowned. That was well above the normal area of calm problems in the castle, and an unlikely coincidence.
Put security on full alert.
Already done.
Could it be Skywalker? Had he somehow gotten into the castle without being detected?
Cancel my appointments. Go and fetch Princess Leia. Bring her to my strong room.
Leia felt somebody approaching her room. Intuition, she guessed, but she trusted it. She grabbed one of the chairs and slid it next to the door. Then she stood on the back of it, balanced carefully against the wall, the heavy bounty hunter's helmet that had been her disguise clutched in her hands. The door opened, and Guri stepped into the room. She was fast, but Leia had already started moving. Before Guri could turn, Leia hammered the back of her head with the helmet. It was a powerful blow and would have knocked a human woman unconscious. The impact off-balanced the droid, and she stumbled forward. That was enough for Leia to leap from the chair and scoot out of the room into the hall. She slapped the door control. Guri had recovered and was on the way back when the door shut. Leia jammed the lock mechanism closed. The door shook from Guri's impact. The next hit splintered the heavy plastic, spider-webbed it with tiny cracks. It wasn't going to hold her long, Leia knew. She turned and ran. Chewie led them up a stairwell a dozen levels above where they'd entered the castle.
Master Luke, we have successfully left the building.
Luke pulled out his comlink. 3PO, where are you?
Somewhere in the sky, Master Luke. What? Oh, be quiet. I'm flying it correctly.
3PO? There was a moment of silence, then a crunching noise.
Saw it, you withering ashcan. If you hadn't distracted me, I would have turned in time.
3PO, what is going on?
I'm sorry, Master Luke. Thanks to R2's woefully inadequate instructions, we've accidentally destroyed an advertising billboard and a broadcasting tower.
All right, listen. Bring the Falcon to the coordinates I told you. Hurry, and gain enough altitude so you don't hit anything.
Luke broke the connection. There was a heavy, fireproof door just ahead of them. Lando leveled his blaster at it, but Luke stopped him.
Don't. It's magnetically shielded.
That'll bounce off and maybe hit one of us.
How are we supposed to get through it, then?
Stand back. Let's see if it'll stop a lightsaber.
The door would not stop a lightsaber. They went through and continued to climb.
This way! Luke yelled. Firing behind them, they ran down the corridors of the next highest level of the palace, blaster bolts stabbing after them. They rounded another corner, zigzagged through a side corridor, and sprinted toward a door at the end of the hall. They saw the door start to slide back. Dash and Lando brought their guns up. Luke yelled, "No! Don't shoot!" The door opened wide to reveal Leia. She and Luke ran to each other and embraced. Leia stepped back and looked at him.
Took you long enough. She wrinkled her nose.
Yeah, what have you been swimming in?
The ship broke down, Luke said, so we had to take a shortcut through the sewer.
Master Luke!
What is it now, 3PO?
We appear to have caught the attention of a robotic police vessel. It seems to be following us.
Well, lose it.
How, Master Luke?
Fly like Han does.
Running next to him, Leia's eyes went wide.
You're letting the droids fly the ship? Are you crazy?
They're doing all right, just a few jitters, that's all.
No, R2, you heard what Master Luke said. I'll just loop around and... Whoa,
3PO, what are you doing?
Ah, that's better. We seem to have lost the pursuer, Master Luke. I believe it smashed into that walkway we flew under while we were upside down.
I can't believe you let the droids fly the... Luke glared at her. Will you stop saying that? He looked back at the comlink. All right, you two. Get to the coordinates, like I said, and be more careful.
We're doing quite well now, Master Luke. Don't worry.
Luke stared up at the ceiling and sighed. Guri burst into Shizor's strong room. He blinked at her.
What?
She got away. I'll sound the general alarm.
No! How would that look? The head of Black Sun allows his security to be breached. Tell the perimeter guards to watch their backs. Whoever got in had better not get out.
They hurried down the corridor to a surveillance nexus, where they could access the feed and see holograms of the holocam input. Guri tapped the commands into an old-fashioned keypad.
Display level 16. Anybody not wearing an employee uniform.
The image broke into a million tiny dots, swirled like water going down a drain, then went blank.
Where is the image?
Guri asked the computer.
Holocam and sensor feed on level 15 is currently non-operational.
Display level 17.
Again the image stayed blank.
Display level 18.
The air swirled and a multiple scan of empty hallways and rooms blinked into ghostly images. Shizor waved the blaster at the images.
They're on 17. They're blowing out the breakers, so we won't see them. If they'd gotten to 18 yet, that floor would also be gone. Skywalker is doing this. We'll go to level 20. I will dispatch him personally.
They stepped into the turbo lift. The Alliance group continued running up the stairs. Dash was hardly out of breath.
Level 20. Stairs end here. We'll have to zip in and find another set.
The plan was to get to the Falcon and get off-world as soon as possible.
How many levels are in this place?
Lando asked. As I recall, 102 above ground.
Oh, man. And we have to go all the way to the roof?
Luke answered. No, there's a landing pad extending out from level 50. Dash scoffed.
That's nothing. Another 30 flights. We won't even be breathing hard.
Shizor and Guri stepped out of the turbolift and into the corridor. Shizor saw them first. Five of them, Leia included. The Dark Prince smiled. He turned sideways, lowered his blaster, and extended it one-handed, as if he were shooting targets in a competition, lined his sights up on Skywalker's left eye. Luke spotted the tall alien just as he brought his blaster to bear. He jerked his lightsaber from his belt, flicked it on, and let the Force claim him. He felt the impact of the shot as his blade deflected the incoming bolt. The alien fired again. Again, the lightsaber moved, directed by the Force. Another beam splashed harmlessly against the Jedi weapon and burned through.
Look out! Leia yelled.
The droid woman Lando had told him about, Guri, hurled a chair at Luke. He couldn't use his saber to cut it down and risk another bolt from the shooter. Chewie brought his bowcaster up, fired. The chair exploded into shrapnel. Shizor realized two things. He was outgunned, and Skywalker could stop his fire.
Move!
He yelled at Guri. She stepped in front of him and blocked him from the five down the hall as he stepped into the empty room where she'd gotten the chair. A second later, she joined him. In spite of himself, Shizor was impressed.
That's an interesting trick he does with that lightsaber.
He is related to Vader. Shall I call the guards now?
He sighed.
Call them. That was Shizor,
Leia yelled.
Good, let's get him,
Luke yelled back.
I don't think so, Lando said. Look!
A dozen guards rounded the corner and started shooting.
In there!
Dash yelled. There was a door to their left. Chewie opened it by smashing through it, and they ran into an empty office.
Now what? Leia said.
Lando reached into the small backpack he wore.
It's time for desperate measures.
He brought out a silvery ball about the size of a fist. There were some controls, a finger-wide slot around the ball's equator, and what looked like electronic diodes on the top and in the slot. Dash took the ball from Lando.
It's a thermal detonator. Lando's got three of them. They run on a timer or a dead man's switch. Flip that switch, press the button in, and hold it. If you let go without disarming the dead man's switch first, it goes off.
And does what, exactly? Leia asked.
Makes a small thermonuclear fusion reaction.
A small thermonuclear fusion reaction.
She took the device, examined it.
And if you don't use the dead man's switch?
It runs on a timer. The default setting is 5 minutes. If you lock it in, nobody can turn it off.
Got it. She hefted the metal ball, then tucked it inside the bounty hunter's helmet, hooked to her belt.
I guess we better have a little talk with Shizor, Luke said. Lando handed him another of the thermal detonators. Luke touched the controls. The device started making a beeping sound. Tiny lights winked on and off.
Shizor entered the hall behind a dozen or so guards who moved toward an open door across from the one he and Guri had ducked into. He heard a small noise, a repetitive beep. Skywalker stepped into the hall. The guards pointed their blasters, but the boy didn't have his lightsaber in hand. Instead, he held some kind of small device.
Shizor had not always been an armchair commander. He had paid his dues in head-knocking and strong-arm work, and he knew a bomb when he saw one. Don't shoot! Lower your weapons!
The other intruders and Leia moved out into the hall behind Skywalker. Skywalker held out the device. You know what this is?
I have a pretty good idea. What do you want?
To leave, my friends and I.
If you release the bomb, you'll die. So will your friends.
The boy shrugged. As it stands, we're dead anyway. We have nothing to lose. How about you? You ready to give all this up? He waved at the building around them.
I think you're bluffing.
Only one way to find out. Your move.
Shizor thought about it.
All right. Leave. Nobody will stop you.
Alive, he would be able to chase them down. Dead, well, dead was dead.
Four of them edged past the guards, who nearly fell on themselves trying to get out of the way. Skywalker stood facing Shizor alone.
Skywalker, you've caused me a great deal of trouble.
That's too bad. You had it coming.
I could still shoot you.
You could try. Skywalker flicked the lightsaber on. It was a standoff, and Skywalker knew it. Suddenly, the dark man reached into his pack and produced another shining ball. Shizor smirked.
What's the point of that? You can't blow up any more with two of those.
The dark man grinned. There was a garbage chute next to him, and he opened it. He flipped a control on the device. It started beeping and flashing. Shizor had an awful premonition.
No!
But the man tossed the bomb into the chute.
You have 5 minutes to leave the building. If I were you, I'd get moving.
Luke and the others took the lift to level 50. As they ran toward the landing pad, Luke heard something. He reached out with the force, couldn't find anything. He waved the others on. Go ahead, I'll be right there. He pulled out his lightsaber, flicked it on. He heard a woman's voice behind him.
Behold, the Jedi Knight, the man of legend.
The droid woman called Guri stood there.
You have caused my master much misfortune. You should die for that.
Luke aimed the sword point at her.
You have that blade, and I am unarmed.
She held her hands away from her sides, empty palms facing him. He had maybe 3 minutes. The smart thing to do would be to cut her down and get moving. He clicked the lightsaber off, rehooked it to his belt.
What do you want? A test. My master pits himself against the deadliest opponents he can find. There are no men my equal in hand-to-hand combat, except, perhaps, if the stories are true, a Jedi Knight. This building is going to blow to pieces in 3 minutes, and you want to play games? It won't take that long. Are you afraid to die, Skywalker? He spread his feet slightly and dropped into a fighting crouch. Guri smiled and slid into her own fighting stance. She leapt at him. She was impossibly fast. He stepped to his right and kicked at her as she flew past. Hit her on the hip and knocked her sideways, but not off her feet. She circled, looking for an opening. Luke! Leia's scream distracted him. It was enough for Guri. She took a long sliding step and punched. Luke backpedaled, but her fist hit him in the belly hard. She followed up with an elbow, but he dived away, rolled and turned, came up with his hands lifted as she darted after him. He lost contact with the Force. He was on his own. She slapped him next to the ear, and he went down, dazed. If he didn't do something fast, she was going to kill him.
The Force. Let it work for you, Luke.
Luke heard Ben's voice calling, as if from a great distance, echoing across time and space. Yes. He managed a breath as Guri raised her hand, formed now into a blade instead of a fist, a grin of triumph lighting her features. When he blew out his air, he blew his fear out with it. He saw Guri's hand descend, saw it moving to smash him, but it was so slow. It seemed he could roll aside and stand before she ever reached him. He came up, pivoted, thrust his open palm against the descending chop and shoved it aside. He used his left leg in a sweep that caught Guri behind the right ankle. Her feet left the floor and she fell flat on her back. Luke pulled his lightsaber, ignited it. Lying on her back, stunned, she managed to smile. You won fairly. Go ahead. Luke lowered the blade, shut it off. Come with us. We can have you reprogrammed. She sat up. No. If somehow my memory is downloaded, it will be fatal for me and my master. We have much to answer for. Better to kill me now. He shook his head. There's been enough killing. I'm not adding to it today. He nodded at her once, turned, and ran. Chizor's personal ship, the Virago, was on the top level of the palace. He hurried on board and closed the hatch. He would fly to his skyhook. He had his own navy positioned in and around the space station. Several corvettes, a few frigates, hundreds of rebuilt surplus fighters. By the time Skywalker's ship made it into orbit, his navy would be waiting.
All systems go,
the Virago's computer said. He reached for the lift controls. More than a minute left. He paused for a second, looked through the view screen at his castle. It was too bad about its destruction, but he would rebuild a bigger, better, more majestic place until he could take over the Emperor's castle. He touched the lift controls. The Virago rose from the pad and into the bright sunshine. He was a few hundred meters away, clear enough to be safe, when he saw a beat-up Corellian freighter coming at him. The ship seemed to be out of control, corkscrewing on its horizontal axis, pitching and yawing, and barely missed him. What kind of idiot was in control of that vessel? Dash saw it first and pointed up. Mother of madness! Luke looked up and saw the Millennium Falcon coming in too fast and spinning like a demented toy gyroscope. Duck! Lando hollered. The five of them dropped flat. The ship pulled up no more than a meter from the pad's deck. Luke pulled his comlink. 3PO, cut your drives. Bring it in on the repellers only. And hurry! The ship hopped upward 100 meters as if hurled from a sling. Bring it down, you fool droid! Lando yelled. The Falcon drifted down toward them, then dropped like a stone. The belly hatch's ramp yawned wide. Go, go, go! Luke yelled. By the time Luke made it into the ship, the ramp was already closing. They had maybe 30 seconds left. Dash shoved 3PO aside and slid into the cockpit. His hands danced over the controls. There came a deep rumble from underneath them. The Falcon shook. Come on, Dash! Mando yelled. The Millennium Falcon spun away.
As it did, Luke saw the building shake, then drop straight down like a tower of sand with the base kicked out. Smoke rose, and blasts of fire erupted skyward. Giant electrical conduits sprayed multicolored sparks. The ship rocked under the impacts. Dash hit the thrusters, and the Falcon leapt upward.
My Lord Vader, you asked to see anything regarding this name, the officer said.
Vader took the printout and scanned it.
Where did this originate?
An encoded transmission from the ship Virago, my lord, en route to the skyhook Faline's Fist in high orbit. The ship is registered to...
I know who it is registered to.
Vader crumpled the thin plastic hard copy sheet in his hand.
Make ready my shuttle.
He had warned Shizor to stay away from Luke. The criminal had chosen to ignore that order. That was a grievous error. As the Falcon made its escape, the group stood together and heard Dash's voice over the comm.
Thanks for the ride.
Dash had called his droid, who had brought the Outrider to the Falcon, doing a much better job of flying than 3PO and R2, and now he was on his way out. Luke said more fondly than he would have believed possible a few days earlier, "You really ought to consider signing on with the Alliance. You're a good man, and we could use you."
"Thanks, Luke, but I don't think so. I'm not much of a joiner."
"Want a race to the jump spot?" Luke now sat at the controls. Dash laughed.
"You want a parsec head start?"
"No, I..." A hard green beam of light flashed between the two ships. The sighting ray of a big ship's cannon. Lando said, "We've got an unmarked corvette coming in at 270, and four fighters at 359. Those aren't Imperial ships. Who are these guys?"
"Bet you accredit their Shizors," Leia said.
That made sense. Not that it made any difference. Luke began pushing controls. "We've got to move. Chewie, Leia, the guns."
Shizor stood in his command center on the skyhook, surrounded by a transparasteel plate that allowed him an almost 360-degree view of space. He heard the voice of his commander engaging the rebels in space.
"Prince Shizor, we have located the Corellian freighter. We are engaging it now. It should be destroyed momentarily."
Shizor nodded.
"Don't be too sure, Commander. They seem to be extremely lucky."
"They'll need more than luck, my prince. We have them completely surrounded. They'll need a miracle."
The attacking ships had formed a loose hemisphere in space. Many civilian freighter and passenger ships were coming and going around the planet, and it was all Luke could do to avoid hitting one of them as he dodged the fighters buzzing them. Sooner or later, the Imperial Navy was going to wake up and add to the confusion. One of the attacking fighters came straight at them, cannons winking. Suddenly, the attacker exploded. The Falcon blew through the cloud of debris. It pattered like hard rain against the shields.
"Good shot!" Luke yelled. "Who got it? Was that you, Leia?"
"Not me. Must have been Chewie."
Lando said,
"Well, then who did?"
"Hey, Luke. Okay if we join your party?"
"Wedge! What are you doing here?"
"Waiting for you. Dash's droid sent us a distress signal. Sorry it took so long to get here."
Another of the unmarked attackers blossomed into a fireball. Luke grinned.
"Well, just don't let it happen again."
Now that the Rogue Squadron was here, the odds were a little better. He swung the Falcon into a wide turn. Luke's optimism didn't last long.
"Problems, buddy,"
Dash said. Luke nodded. "Wedge?"
"I'm afraid he's right, Luke. These guys are only so-so pilots, but there are a lot of them. I figure we're still outnumbered 15-1.
Luke took a deep breath. "Well, I guess all we can do is take as many of them with us as we can. Unless anybody wants to surrender." Both Dash and Wedge laughed.
"That's what I thought.
May the Force be with you. Luke flew as he had never flown before. He threw power turns that came close to blacking them all out. And then he saw the TIE fighters screaming toward them, a dozen at least. Lando said,
"Uh-oh."
"Yeah, I was wondering what was keeping them." Luke looked over at Lando. "Listen, thanks for everything, Lando. You've been a good friend."
"I don't want to hear that kind of talk. I still am a good friend."
There was nowhere to go. Space was thick with ships. Luke saw the TIEs flash past. Watch them take out two of the unmarked attackers. Lando said. Over the comm, Shizor heard the panic in his commander's voice.
"My lord, we're being attacked by the Imperial Navy."
Next to him, a communications tech waved frantically. Shizor fixed the man with a baleful stare.
"This better be good. Your life hangs in the balance."
"It's Lord Vader. He wants to speak to you." Vader's image swirled in front of him. Shizor went on the offensive immediately.
"Lord Vader, why is the Navy attacking my ships?"
"Because the ships, under your orders, are engaging in criminal activity."
"Nonsense! My ships are trying to stop a rebel traitor who destroyed my castle."
"You have 2 standard minutes to recall your vessels and to offer yourself into my custody."
The coldness at Shizor's core blossomed uncontrolled into an angry heat. He tried to keep his voice calm.
"I will not. I will take this up with the Emperor."
"The Emperor is not here. I speak for the Empire, Shizor. I warned you to stay away from Skywalker. Recall your ships and surrender into my custody, or pay the consequences."
The commander of Shizor's navy put in a frantic call to his master. Vader listened to the decoded communication over the speaker system.
"My prince, we are outnumbered and being slaughtered. I need permission to offer our surrender. Majesty?"
Vader watched the chronometer, enjoyed the time melting away. Not much left for the Dark Prince now. 7 seconds, 6 seconds, 5.
"Prince Shizor, we must surrender or we will be blown to pieces. Majesty, and..."
The commander's transmission ended abruptly. One of the Imperial fighters must have gotten him. 2, 1.
"Commander, destroy the Skyhook."
Luke put the Falcon into a steep climb, but there were more ships looming at that angle, and he peeled off to starboard. But while the TIE fighters occasionally fired on the X-Wings, they seemed to be targeting the unmarked attackers. Shizor's ships. Why? Luke zagged, missed an incoming fighter by centimeters. He felt a familiar disturbance in the Force. Vader? Then the Skyhook exploded.
"Oh, man," Lando said softly. "They must have made somebody real mad."
Luke shook his head, didn't speak. Dash didn't give him time to react.
"Heads up, boys. Follow me. Somebody just opened us an escape hatch."
Luke looked out at the swarming debris. "Are you crazy? We can't fly through that."
"What's the matter, kid? Don't think you can do it?"
Luke laughed and headed for the wreckage. Lando yelled, "Look out, Dash!" Luke glanced up to see a block of shattered Skyhook the size of a Resiflex smash into the outrider. There was a flare of light too bright to look at. Luke turned away, saw Lando throw one arm up to block the glare. When the light faded, the outrider had vanished. "Oh, man," Lando said. He's gone." The sweet taste of triumph went bitter in Luke's mouth. There wasn't time to mourn now. "Brace yourselves. This is going to be rough." The secret Alliance base on the asteroid was light years away from Coruscant. Luke stood with Leia, Lando, and Chewie, 3PO, and R2,
and stared through the thick transparasteel into the depths of the galaxy. Lando said,
"If Shizor was on that skyhook like our intelligence reports say, I would guess Black Sun's bounty hunters will quit looking for you."
"There's still Vader," Leia said. Luke shook his head.
"I don't think Vader wants me dead. Yet, anyway." They looked up to see Wedge approaching.
"Got a message for you, Luke, from the Bothans. It was for Dash, but, well... Anyway, that missile Dash supposedly missed during the fracas off Kothlis? Turns out he didn't miss."
Luke blinked.
"What?"
"The thing was one of the Empire's new diamond boron armored jobs. Nothing he had to throw at it could have stopped it."
Luke felt a lump of liquid air form in his belly. Dash hadn't screwed up. And now he would never know. And worse was the knowledge that Luke had felt just a little bit glad to see the braggart taken down a notch.
"What are you going to do now?" Wedge said.
"We're going to get Han," Luke said. "If he isn't on Tatooine yet, he soon will be."
"Going to dance into the Hutt's guarded palace and get him, just like that?"
"I have a plan," Luke said. In the Emperor's private sanctum, Darth Vader got up off his knees and stood before his master. He believed he had reason to be worried.
"You defied my orders, Lord Vader."
"Yes, my master. But I hope I have not failed you."
The Emperor favored Vader with a dark smile.
"I am not unaware that Shizor served his own ends, and that you were shrewd to have uncovered his plot. Are we certain he is dead?"
"I do not see how he could have survived."
"Just as well. Black Sun is useful, but it is also like a Chiru. Cut off its head, and another will appear to replace it."
Vader asked,
"But what of the plot to ensnare the rebel leaders?"
"The new Death Star will draw them in, and this time you and I will be there to finish this rebellion."
Vader wanted to shake his head. As always, the Emperor was one step ahead of him.
"Young Skywalker will be there too. I have seen it. It is all proceeding exactly as I have foreseen it, Lord Vader."
In Ben's house on Tatooine, Luke took a deep breath and reached for calmness. If the Hutt was willing to negotiate, it would save a lot of trouble. But none of them really expected it. Jabba was extremely mean-spirited, and he didn't need the money.
"Okay, R2, start recording."
Luke began, in the most ingratiating tone he could manage.
"Greetings, Exalted One. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight and friend to Captain Solo. I know that you are powerful, mighty Jabba, and that your anger with Solo must be equally powerful. I seek an audience with your greatness to bargain for Solo's life."
That ought to be servile enough.
"As a token of my goodwill, I present to you a gift. These two droids."
Luke fought a grin. 3PO would be stunned to hear this. He glanced at R2, raised an eyebrow, and the little droid shut his recorder off. Leia shook her head.
"You think that'll do it?"
"I hope so. Hey, after all we just went through, rescuing one beat-up old pirate ought to be easy, right?"
She smiled.
"Right."
He returned her smile. His emotions were mixed. He didn't know how she really felt about him or about that beat-up pirate, but he knew how he felt about both of them. Whatever happened, he had to do the right thing. That was just how things were. And the right thing here was simple, if not easy.
"Hang on, Han. We're coming for you."
This is Anthony Heald. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Star Wars: Shadows of the Empire by Steve Perry. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Lars Howell. Abridgment by Trebby Johnson. Star Wars: Shadows of the Empire is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 1996, all rights reserved. Chizor's theme can also be heard on the original Shadows of the Empire orchestral soundtrack, composed by Joel McNeely. The book Shadows of the Empire is available wherever Bantam books are sold.